How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Isn't how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
That is the Nobel laureate for literature, a fellow named Bob Dylan. I know there was some controversy about that choice. There is no controversy in my mind. I have ever thought that songwriters were poets, and he deserves it. Beth Schaefer, my guest, is a writer and a teacher and used to be a singer in a band. What do you think of that choice, Beth, before we start talking about your books and everything? What?
You know, I didn't grow up listening to Bob Dylan, although my parents did, but I grew up listening to Joan Baez.
Joan Baez, same, well, she slept with Bob Dylan, and
she had a long-time affair.
She had a long... And Beth is in here with her son, Tony. Tony, how old are you now, 10?
No, I'm 9 years old.
He's only 9 years old, so we'll try to keep this civil and clean. You'll hear a lot of Bob Dylan tonight. This show is a little abbreviated. We will end at the end of the Cubs game, which, of course, one hopes is a victory, though Clayton Kershaw is pitching like Clayton Kershaw pitches. I was going to have on the great novelist Bonnie Jo Campbell, whose latest book is Mothers, Tell Your Daughter, a collection of stories. She is among the most talented writers in America. She will be appearing. I'll get her on soon, but she will be appearing Friday at 7 o'clock at the bookseller, that charming, charming bookstore in Lincoln Square, where they, charming in large part because they allow you to drink beer and wine while you're there, and I think that's a perfect sort of setting for writers. But this hour is devoted to little Bob Dylan and a lot of Beth Schaefer, who is a teacher, was a singer, now is a publisher and a writer. And Beth, this all started when you had a dream in 2013, didn't it?
That's right. In May 2013, I had a dream in which my father, who had passed away just a few months before that, spoke to me in my sleep, and I woke up with this idea to start a publishing company, and it just like literally happened overnight.
But he didn't say to you, if I remember correctly, hey, honey, get up and start a publishing company. It was a more diffuse kind of dream, but it in essence, the message from the dream was, hey, Beth, get back in touch with your creative side, wasn't it?
That's exactly it. I mean, in the dream, I didn't hear his words, but I heard his voice, and he was at my door. And when I awoke, the thought was immediately there, but...
Well, now let's flash to 3 years later. How many books have you published? One, two, three, four, five, six?
Five or six.
Okay, this is in 3 years, ladies and gentlemen. You've done this all on your own with a vast, vast creative energy. One of them, I want to talk first about the Trump for Principle, which came out about a year ago.
Yes.
How did that book come to be?
Because
he was, at the time, about a year ago, he was kind of, I know many people think he's laughable now, but it was like, hey, God, are you kidding? This guy was running for president?
I am absolutely trying to remember. I remember the time period when it hit me to do the book, and I was on it immediately. I knew the cartoonist I wanted to work with, but I don't remember the exact moment when the idea came to me.
It is a children's book for, as Beth says, a children's book for American grown-ups. Basically, the title is Trump for Principal, where he is running for principal of a school. And he is so the Donald Trump that we have come to know intimately. Don't you think he may not be making sexist remarks in your book?
Oh, he is a little.
Yeah, he is a little. You're right. He is a little. As you... After publishing this and writing this and watching this Trump circus unfold, you must feel you're almost like a prophet, aren't you?
What I feel is incredibly frustrated because every single week or every single day he says something new that would be just wonderful to add to the book. I did an updated version of this Trump for Principle book. I got just online with the cartoonist and said, quick, can you do a few more cartoons? So there's some new ones you haven't seen in there, Rick. But it's incredibly frustrating. I need to update it every week, and obviously I can't do that.
Well, sure. You see, one of the things about you, Beth Schaefer, and is your energy. You were a single mom raising that lovely, lovely nine-year-old boy, Tony, who's sitting in the studio, who now has a dog. What's the dog's name?
Well, my dog's name is Lucy, and she really loves, and she has no dark side.
The dog has no dark side. The dog is, Lucy is a perfect little dog. Tony, you got to see the microphone in front of you? There you go.
Yeah.
That's how you talk into it.
Lucy is a really good dog. She's a little puppy and...
How old?
She's 8 weeks old.
When did you get him?
Yesterday.
Yesterday? And you left him with who, your grandma?
Uh-huh.
She's taking care of him?
It's actually a hole.
And you're stuck in a radio studio at 9:15 on a Cubs playoff night. You'll never forget this, Tony. We got to take a break. I'm keeping Beth here for almost this whole hour. Later in the hour, you'll hear a little Studs Terkel. You'll hear some more Bob Dylan, and we will talk about the Trump book is incredibly amusing. As I haven't thumbed through this, but you have a new collector's edition of Trump for Principle featuring Secret Agent Hillary and the case of the missing hot dog. We'll talk about that.
If you're traveling in the North Country Fire, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. For she once was a true lover man.
If you go, I am doing my bit to honor the awarding of the Nobel Prize in Literature to Bob Dylan, a poet. A poet. I'm writing about Dylan for Tuesday in the Tribune about his first visit to Chicago, which was pretty, and his first visit, his first three visits. It's pretty amazing. There are very few people who were around. It was 1963, but think about that. I did write about Beth Schaefer and her son Tony in the Tribune some time ago. It was only last year, and she continues to produce these lovely, lovely books at her company, and here's the website. You can go to the website, booksonawhim.com. It's a lovely website, too. How do you find time to do that, too?
I don't know. I neglect the dishes and the laundry a lot. And
Tony, do you have to do the laundry?
Nope.
Okay. You don't have to cook meals at home, do you?
Nope.
Okay. Your mom does take good care of you. You seem to like her.
Yeah, I only play with my dog.
Well, now you have a dog. We'll see how responsible you can be. Beth, you've also created a college, Wimser College, which is located in a place that is dear to where your parents met, where you were born. And the whole notion of grade A papers, we recently published is grade A papers, too, as you describe, a silly coffee table book for history teachers in the universe, a collection of wacky, whimsical, fake student papers featuring marvelous guest writers and artists. This was inspired in part by your dad, too, because you used to try to trick him, right?
Right. He, for many, many years, decades even, he was an English teacher, and as a joke, I would write fake student papers and stick them in his stacks to grade just to crack him up. Sometimes it would be once a year. I'd let a couple years pass and then surprise him with a fake student paper just as a practical joke.
And were you, Beth Schaefer, able to fool your dad?
Once.
Really? What was that paper? What was it? What'd you fool him with?
It's in the first grade A papers book. It's a wacky, really bizarre tale, and I was absolutely astonished that he didn't realize it was me. I mean, it was so obvious. He just must not have been focusing when he was grading.
Well, the great thing about this too is I fully expect all of this to one day come to life on the big screen. I'm dead serious. I think this is sort of a movie because you have created these various Professor Vanderbleek, Professor Daphne Duck, Holly Golly, Molly Golly, Chester Matted. I'm laughing because it's quite funny. How do people, you don't write all these yourself?
No, I write, this Grade A Papers 2 book, most of it I wrote myself, but I have 4 or 5 guest writers, and I was really, really fortunate that some of these writers agreed to participate, and they've written some really funny pieces in there.
When you approach them to contribute to this, how do you explain it to them? I mean, do you know what I mean? It's kind of, hi, I'd like you to write for a book I'm publishing, and I'd like you to write what I think of as a fake college paper. You can headline it anything. here, this is a great one. My Nobel Prize Winner by Daniel Gutierrez.
Well, Tony wrote that one.
Did he? In your own hand. Wow. when you approach them, how do you do that?
Well, I have been declined a couple of times. But for those who agreed, Dave Lurson is a writer for the Shepherd Express in Milwaukee, and we had already connected. He wrote an article on Grade A Papers 1 about a year and a half ago. So we already were in touch and knew each other from the past. And James O'Connor, who wrote a bestseller called Cuss Control.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
So he agreed to write. He's great. We have a really great rapport. He was helping me with some business promotions, and I asked him, and he agreed, and I was delighted. One of them was another writer was someone who won a writing contest that I held.
At National Lewis?
The
one you did on your website, right?
Right. And then finally, the other writer is a brilliant creative writing student I had. I teach at the College of Lake County as well as National Lewis, and this student, his name is Zach, just blew me away with his work. And after class, I said, will you please contribute a paper? And he was happy to do so.
What was the topic?
Gosh, it's so hard to explain. It's so poignant in there. I don't want to.
Okay, don't blow it. Yeah, don't.
Because it's so good. It's called Ridley. Ridley.
You know, a lot of people have been, myself among them, highly praiseful of what's in here. I remember this Joe Martin, who created the comic strip Mr. Boffo, had said, I hold the Guinness record for running 40,000 jokes. Beth Schaefer has put more than that in one book, and I think she may have more funny ones. Most people who have bought this book have to be complimentary. Yes? What have you heard from them?
Well, first of all, I got Joe to contribute. Joe Martin contributed to Grade A Papers. He did some of the Whimsor College characters.
He actually
drew them. I've heard mostly pretty positive feedback. So, I've heard positive feedback. I'm very pleased.
Tell me again. We got about 2 minutes here, and then we'll get some commercials and then some news, and you're going to stay here, and I want to talk to Tony some more. You found, which I still think is just an amazement of sorts, you found the illustrators, and I think they're fantastic. This was kind of the modern age of publishing. You haven't met them. You found them on the internet.
Exactly.
How did you do that? Did you look at samples of work, or how does that happen?
I found them through a website called 99 Designs. So if anyone is looking to hire artists, you can have contests, and you can hook up with artists across the world, and it's 99designs.com. It's they're an incredible resource there for meeting artists across the world, all kinds of artists, all kinds of styles.
See, the Trump thing, I'm hoping that in the next 3 weeks before this strange election season is over, that someone, that I see this on the CBS Evening News or something, because the person, Trump does not have hair, correct? He has an animal on
yes.
his head.
Yes.
He what has kind a of ferret. Animal is it? A ferret on his
or no,
head?
No, a weasel.
It's a weasel. Well, ferret, forgot. Weasel. Ferret, weasel, who's counting? And it, the drawings in this thing are just, wait, here's Hillary with Hugh Hefner.
I'm really, really pleased with the way the Secret Agent Hillary book came out. It's the same cartoonist as the Trump book. That's why I have them in one book here in this collector's edition. And I'm really, really excited with how that Hillary book in particular came out. It's a mystery.
We will be back with Beth Shaver. You people sit tight out there, watch the Cubs game, do whatever you do. Keep the sound off so you can listen to the show. We will be back.
Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes. You that build all the bombs. You that hide behind walls. You that hide behind disks. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but build to destroy. You play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes. And you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly.
That's Masters of War, and that is an astonishing song. And it is an amazing thing to consider that Bob Dylan wrote that song and is 21 or 22 years old. It is quite something. Once again, I'll have a story about Dylan in Chicago when he was 21 or 22 years old, and a little later after Beth Shaver and her son Tony go home to take care of Tony's new dog, I will play you a little snippet of a radio interview that Bob Dylan did in Chicago in 1963. So, Beth, now you have out Grade A Papers 2. You have out this fascinating... So it's kind of like two books in one, isn't it?
It is. It is.
What inspired you? And again, everybody, you can go to Books on a Whim. That's Books on a WHIM.com to see Beth's website, to visit Whimsor College, to buy all of her books, but to get a real taste of what she does. What inspired this book, Secret Agent Hillary and the Case of the Missing Hot Dog? What was the inspiration for that?
Well, I wanted to do a Hillary parody, too.
Being the fair person you are.
Yeah, I didn't take it the political route with her, so I just turned it into a mystery where she's promoted to a secret agent, and her first case is to find the missing hot dog of Hugh Hefner. And so she and her dutiful assistant, Marcy, who looks like, or no, Macy, who looks like Marcy from the Charlie Brown stories, who follows her around and calls her Sir. So they try to track down the thief who stole the hot dog from Hugh Hefner by tracking down condiments.
Well, it sounds great to me. I haven't read it because you just brought it in here, but I will read it later tonight. You balance, and you started to do, since you got your latest degree, more teaching than ever before. And I wonder what that's like to be in a classroom where you're with younger people. Not that you're old, you're young, but that sort of creative energy. Do you get inspiration from your students?
Yes, especially the creative writing class that I taught. And I teach that at College of Lake County, and also teaching at National Lewis some of the business communication classes. It's also very inspiring, especially those that are face-to-face. these students, and a lot of them around my age, middle-aged as well at National Lewis, and younger kids, well, kids too. But they're very excited to move on to their new careers in communications, and you can be very creative with communications, even if it's business or technical writing.
Sure.
So it's very fun and inspiring, inspirational.
But you are, and I'll ever think this, you're stretched pretty thin, aren't you?
I am, and I'm about to get my EDD, so my doctoral studies. I'm about to do a program there.
I'd like to say, Beth Schaefer, you're crazy, but I think, hey, Tony, can I talk to you for a minute? You went to a media arts class, so you're good at the microphone. What do you like your mom's books?
Yeah, I think they're pretty funny.
That's good enough. Hey, you two, not long ago, about a year ago, stood out in front of Trump Tower and were trying to sell the Trump for Principle book. What was that like?
Well, that is one of the most memorable experiences in a very happy way that I've ever had. I took Tony out of school for 3 hours, and we went. It was a beautiful fall sunny day, and we stood on the bridge in Michigan Avenue where you could see the Trump Tower behind us and the big, you know, the big sign, Trump sign. And we had made banners the night before that said Trump for Principle and taped up the cover of the book. And so we were shouting out, holding these saying Trump for principal, not president. And I was so proud of Tony, and he was 8 then, just running up to these strangers. It was lunch hour. There were people all over the place, a little confused. They didn't know if we were for Trump or against Trump. And he was just up there handing out flyers and selling books and saying Trump for principal, not president. It was wonderful. Yeah.
Did you get hassled by anybody?
Tony, do you remember? I feel like we had a couple incidents.
Yeah, I think like one person, like one or two people, I like, thought that we were actually like Trump for president.
And you would have to explain, no, it's not Trump for president, it's Trump for principal, right?
Yeah, but they walked too fast.
And you couldn't get it out. What about cops? Anybody stop you?
There was one cop who was very, very friendly, and he came over and he asked if I had a permit, and I said I didn't. He was very, very nice, very smiley, and I asked if we could stay if I would give him a free book. And
well, that's a classic Chicago policeman.
He was so
story.
Nice. Yes. So he let us stay.
What's next for you, hon? What is next for you? You really are such a sort of engine of creativity, and all of this, again, for those of you just tuning in, she was inspired by a dream in which her late father visited her, and that sort of turned on, resurrected a creative spark that you had had your whole life, but was sort of lying dormant, right?
Right.
And you've started producing these books, and with an unbelievable amount of energy. What's the future hold for you? I know you don't think about that all the time. You want to raise a nice, good kid and a cute, fun, well-behaved dog. what do you think about it? I mean, you have your own publishing company now. You really, really know how to do this and get these books out there. Do you have any trouble, Beth, let me ask you, getting them in stores?
I don't try to get them in the brick and mortar stores. I don't have time to do that.
Really,
and
wouldn't.
I can, you know, you can do so much online, and they are on Amazon, but I have to tell you, they're much more expensive on Amazon than on my website because Amazon takes.
No, that's a stupid question for me. How could you go to individual bookstores?
I just don't have time. I would love to. But
maybe when Tony's about 17, he can do that kind of thing for you. So what do you think? I mean, I know you want to expand the sort of scope of Whimsor College, right?
Yeah, I'm working on I've already started working on another book. It's not a Whimsor College book. That will be next year, next summer. I have another Whimsor College book in mind. What I'm working on right now is kind of an oral history book, if I can call it that. It's serious. Serious content, and I'm interviewing women who have survived domestic abuse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, relationships. And I've already interviewed like four women. I have 30-some more to interview, several already scheduled. And the whole purpose of the book is to help women who are currently in these dangerous relationships to see that you can get past.
Can get out.
So I'm really excited about this project right now.
Oh, and I don't blame you. Yeah. Well, you're balancing something very, very serious with something very, very amusing, and that's somewhat the nature of life itself. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Ups and downs. Beth, you're a marvel to me. And Tony, you were growing up to be a nice, nice young man. I don't want to put any pressure on you. Do you think you want to be a writer?
When I grow up, I still want to be a scientist.
Okay. What about a baseball player?
No.
They make a lot of money, these baseball players. Now you don't care about money, do you?
No.
Okay. See, this is a great 9-year-old. Beth, it is great to see you again. You can go to her website, which is Books on a Whim, BookSonaWhim, and take a look at the website. The website's beautiful, and the books are beautiful, and you and your kid are beautiful. That's all I can tell you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Say hi to your mom for me. Her mom used to be a cabaret singer of Chris Schaefer, about whom I wrote in my old cabaret days. So give her my love, will you?
I will.
Beth, you're really something. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break. Then I'm going to play you part of an interview that Bob Dylan sat for with Studs Terkel. It is, to my mind, certainly his first radio interview in Chicago and one of the first radio interviews he ever did. The year was 1963, so stay tuned, will you please?